Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
Well, guys, this is going to be my last time to minister on a Wednesday night for quite a while. So thank you for hanging with me and all the other ministers. And come on, give them all a hand, you know. It's been wonderful. We've had this format for 15 years, so it's kind of a big deal. I mean, I'll still be preaching, but anyways, I was excited. I thought, you know, tonight's that last message for Wednesday night for a while. And if you've been around me any length of time, you know this. I am a promise junkie. When I say junkie, I mean I'm like putting, you know what I mean? It's just I stockpile promises. I pray promises. I declare promises. I believe the promises of God. And we are in a season right now where the Lord said 2023 is going to be a year of fulfillment. I love that. So I'm expecting God to fulfill some promises. But in addition to that, as I've been in this Understanding the End Times series, one of the instructions to the Latter-day Church is, as you see the day approaching, don't neglect gathering together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Spur each other on. And then also grab on or cling to firmly the promises of God, because they're what keep you going. So I want to leave this message with you tonight, as we're going to be learning all kinds of new things, that you need to hear the promise of God again and again and again and understand this. He said it. So I've entitled the message tonight, I Promise by God. You know, he said it. And the Bible says that the promises of God are yes. So they're never no. They're yes. And amen. The word amen means let it be and let it continue. Amen. Let it be. When you say amen to something I'm preaching, you're saying, let it be. Let it be in my life. And let it continue. So if you don't want it to be and continue, then don't say amen. Okay? But I wanted to give you 12 promises tonight. And I even envisioned some altar time with some of you coming forward in one of these areas where you feel that the enemy has warred against your promise. And get some agreement. And I'm coming in with 12, so I have a lot. I want to get through it without sounding like an auctioneer. But the first one I want to begin with tonight is the promise of God's love. And that seems so basic, because it is, but it's so profound. Right now, we're living in troubling times. Politics and economics are volatile. Natural disasters and disease outbreaks are happening all over the world, and they're affecting millions. Fear has become a pandemic in and of itself. It's time right now for change. And we cannot always alter our circumstances, but we can transform our hearts. We can transform our minds. We can transform our relationships through a renewed perspective of how much Jesus loves us and how imminent his return is, how fortified his promises are, how sure they are. And these powerful promises are straight from God's word, and they contain practical applications for our life that will take us through anything, absolutely anything. And the number one thing is the promise of God. Jesus himself in John says, like, join me in continuing on in the Father's love. And many times we get stuck because we aren't partnering with Jesus. Jesus isn't walking in fear, doubt, and unbelief. He's walking in the Father's love. And when you walk with him, you are going to experience the overwhelming love of God. The love of God that will will never disappoint you. It will never leave you. It's everlasting. It never quits. It never betrays. It never runs out. I made that post, you know, on Valentine's Day because Paul understood this. He said, nothing, nothing can separate me, us, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No height, no depth, nothing in life. And I love that phrase, nothing in life, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in life. He said, no angel, no demon, no principality. Paul was in dire straits. The government was persecuting him. You know, the religious system was persecuting him. Paul had come to a place where he realized that nothing present, nothing even to come, nothing in the future. There's things coming, guys. And if you don't understand that God loves you when bad things are happening, you'll start to believe that the worst is yet to come. God wants you to know this. Bad things happen, but he's good in the middle of them, and he loves you in the middle of them, and his love is never going to dry up on you, and he's got your back. Amen? The world's going to disappoint you. People are going to disappoint you, but God's love never will. I love this verse, and everybody should know it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not only does he want us to be saved, sozoed, made whole, restored, back to relationship with himself, the Father, but he wants us to walk on in his love. He so loved us that he died to restore us to himself and so that we could experience his love. Amen? It was his love that drew us first. So, that, I mean, in this hour, I just want you more than ever to be childlike. I love hearing my grandchildren singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, because my Grammy told me so. You know, I love it. But because the Bible tells us so, and these are the things, oh, how he loves me. You know, today, I spent hours just soaking in the presence of the Lord, which I don't always have the freedom to do. But I was in the worship set of the upper room there in Dallas, and they were singing a Rita Springer song. And the words are, there is no striving. There is no striving in your love. Freely you have given. Freely you have given to us. You have made us yours. You have called us daughters and sons. This is who you are. This is what your love has done. You have given everything my heart could ever need. And all you ask is I believe. And I am resting safe inside your promise to provide. And nothing could ever change your love. Your love for me, your love for me. There is no striving. There is no striving in your love. Freely you have given. Freely you have given to us. You have made us yours. You have called us sons and daughters. This is who you are. This is what your love has done. You know, I love the bridge because it says, you never ask that I earn your affection. I could never earn something that's free. I never have to fight for your attention. Because your eyes are ever upon me. You never ask that I earn your affection. I could never earn something that's free. I never have to fight for your attention. Because your eyes are ever upon me. Man. I feel like that's just something God wants us to latch on right now. I think the church is weary. We're weary from legalism. We're weary from all the you got to do this and you got to do that to get into the good graces of God. And, you know, there's been more of this feeling that God is mad at you and you have to fight for his affection. You know, I believe we should respect him. I don't think we should ever disrespect him. But his affection is not something we have to fight for. We don't have to earn it. God loves us. He loves us when we're right. He loves us when we're wrong. He loves us when we're up. He loves us when we're down. He loves us when we're struggling. He loves us when we feel empowered and we're doing, you know, we're walking out our purpose. He just loves the world. He loves us. And I believe God is just removing that feeling of just fretting. There's a rest that God wants us to enter into that causes the weary to rest. And you know, the enemy's assignment at the end of the age is to wear out the saints. But many times we wear ourselves out by not believing in the love of God. The next one is the promise of protection, the promise of forgiveness. You know, just as a shepherd will search the hills, he'll go off and search for his lost sheep. Cattle are very expensive and valuable, you know that? But true shepherds care. They don't just see them as a dollar sign. They actually love their sheep or their cattle. And God has pursued every human being. And he will continue to pursue every human being he has created. Many of them will reject him, but isn't it nice to know that God pursues? He does. You know, years ago, I used to just get so bothered by people that I was praying for that just wouldn't, you know, answer the call of the Lord. I'd get worried about my children. I'd get worried about all these things. And the Lord started to remind me that, you know, he is the good shepherd that goes out after them. And the Holy Spirit is going to woo and woo and woo and introduce Jesus. And, you know, God's Spirit won't always strive with man, but once they come in the fold, they're his. He's going to find them wherever they are. There's a promise of protection. There's a promise of forgiveness. There's this old poem by Francis Thompson, and it was written in 1890, and it's called The Hound of Heaven. And it describes the Lord's relentless pursuit of our soul. And it says, I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinth ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears, I hid from him. And under running laughter and fleeing until I could flee no more, he found me where I was hiding. He is the hound of heaven. You know, I love the intense passion of the Lord and how much he yearns to bring us back. There is a promise of protection and forgiveness. In Matthew 18, Jesus talked about this. He said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Guys, I know it upsets us when we see them straying, but you got to understand, the hound of heaven is going after them. And they may flee and flee and flee and hide, but he knows where they are. And there is a promise of protection and forgiveness for them, for us, and if we've lost our way as well. Isn't that wonderful? The third one is the promise of rest. Rest in your God-ordained purpose. I read a prophecy this week by Jeremiah Johnson, and I don't have time to paraphrase all of it, but the one that really struck home with me and resonated with my spirit, he says, we're entering a season where people are going to do ministry, but they're not going to be so enamored and so in love with ministry that their marriages are falling apart, that their bodies are breaking down, that they're going into physical burnout and physical, breakdown. And I want to ask this, are you collapsing right now under the weight of your responsibilities? Have you given Jesus your schedule? Have you given him your burdens? God doesn't want the church to replace his presence with stress. Hello? He wants to replace our stress with rest. And rest is found in his presence. It's not complacency. It's not being lukewarm. It's not being lazy. Do you know you can receive more by just spending time in the presence of God for 10 minutes than if you just stressed for 10 minutes? The presence of God will rejuvenate you. But you have to realign your priorities and also understand when your mind is in some perpetual state of stress. I was having this awesome conversation with Sean at staff meeting about just surrender. And how difficult that is, that his discipline right now, and he can say it better than me because we're talking about, you know, personal discipline, disciplined thought, and disciplined action for the staff. We want to have a staff that is disciplined because we are leaders. And if we aren't disciplined in these areas of our life, we can't lead other people to have a good thought life and engage in good activities and things like that. But there is a discipline to surrender. That's why I love the song, "There is no striving in your love." I believe we'll get more. Mike Bickle said this one time when I was back in Kansas City and it stuck with me. I was just like, stop. He said, lovers get more work done than workers. But you've got to align your priorities with his. And when you do, the most wearisome work will transform into meaningful God-ordained mission. We have a big vision. We have a big mission. And that's good. We should dream big. And I believe when God puts a dream in our heart, it's always bigger than us. It requires help. It requires supernatural assistance. It requires faith. Sean, all of these things. But it doesn't require us to carry everything on our shoulders and die in the process. Yes? So Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I have an acronym for that, but I'm not going to have time if I stop on every point. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, when you're working with Jesus, you're not going to experience this harsh taskmaster. Religion does that. And Jesus is offering them partnership. He's offering us relationship. He's not offering us some religious yoke that involves perfection and striving to the point where we're broken down. The fourth promise of is supernatural help, wisdom, and instruction. We need that. How many of you need wisdom, instruction, and help right now? You know, Jesus gave the disciples a promise to encourage them in their ministry and ensure the New Testament validity. The Holy Spirit would help them remember his teaching. Boy, do I need the Holy Spirit's help remembering things. The disciples were eyewitnesses to Jesus' earthly ministry, and the Holy Spirit enabled them to remember everything he taught without taking away their individual perspectives. Think about this. They didn't even have the New Testament yet. They had the Old Testament. Now they're responsible for preaching the New Covenant message. Listen, without the New Testament being written yet, they had to totally depend on the Holy Spirit. It was a whole new way of doing things. They had to listen to the Holy Spirit. They had to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told them, listen, you're going to get help. You're going to get wisdom. You're going to get instruction. And I will teach you. I will plant truth. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the things I said. I love reading my Bible because I can open it and there are the words in red. Thank you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and everyone else who wrote the words of Jesus. But they didn't have that. Jesus was going away. The red letters were going away. They had to be written on their heart by the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things that Jesus said. He will help us from straying away from the truth. And my God, do we need the help of the Holy Ghost in this hour? John 14, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." I thank God for the Holy Ghost. And I spend time praying in the Spirit. You know, the more you spend time with Him, He's authentic, and He's the true voice of God. It's how you know it's Him. You get around something that's like wonky and you're like, your spirit doesn't bear witness with that. We need to spend time praying in the Spirit, spending time with the Holy Spirit, amen, so that we can get instruction, help, and wisdom in this hour. The fifth is the promise of immortality and eternal life. And you know, I thought about this the other day. What would I do if I knew that nothing could hurt me? Nothing could kill me. Man, I'm not going to have time to finish all this the way I wanted to, but I want to tell you something. There was a moment in my life where I knew that nothing could kill me. Some of you have heard my testimony. I had somebody very powerful and very dangerous when I was involved in the drug world tell me, when I asked him, how do I get out of this? He said, you either die or you die. Meaning you die because we kill you, or you die of old age in this environment because you don't get out. And that little girl who heard the word in church, all of a sudden, she came out of her stupor, and I heard Jesus, I heard God say, if a man would lose his life, he will find it. But if a man tries to hold on to it, he will lose it. And I said, Lord, kill me. You kill me right now. Kill this girl. Kill the flesh. Kill it. I give it to you. I put it down. I put it on the cross. I die right now to myself. I willingly die. And in that moment, I knew no one could ever kill me again. My body might die, but I would live forever. And you know, there's a moment where you realize these people you're afraid of, they can't kill your soul. They can't do anything to your soul. And Jesus says, don't fear them. You know, when you get to that point, there's a boldness that comes on your life. Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. There's a boldness, I believe, that's rising up right now in the remnant, in the true body of Christ, where, you know, whether we get threatened to shut our doors or we get threatened to shut up because they call us hate mongers and we're speaking hate speech because we're speaking the truth of God's word, we're not going to cave in. I don't believe that we're going to bow down, even if it costs us our life. You got to get to the point where you just know that whatever you're doing for God, it's going to cost you something, but your soul doesn't belong to any man but him, and it's already been redeemed. Hallelujah. Thank you for strengthening my voice, Lord. There is a promise of immortality. I like that. And eternal life. The older I get, I'm like, I treasure my life. I thank God for my life. But I gave up being afraid of dying a long time ago. I am not afraid to die. Yeah? I'm not. I'm more afraid of not living. Living with boldness and courage and eking out every ounce of the anointing that God has placed in my life for His glory. I fear that more than dying. Because I don't want to fall short of what God had for me. Amen? There's a promise of freedom Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you're not free right now, there's a lie somewhere. I just say that again. If you're not free right now, there's a lie somewhere. And the promise is that God will tell you the truth. He will show you the truth. And if you will adhere to that truth and you will believe that truth, you will be set free. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of freedom. You should be praying truth over every person who's in deception right now. Speak truth. You know, the love is not the absence of truth. Jesus is love and he's truth. He's love and truth. He's love and grace. And many people say, "Oh, you don't love me because you spoke the truth to them." Make sure you speak it in love. But remember this. You can't love someone truly if you don't tell them the truth. Amen? 7 is the promise of inner peace. I love that. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled." That's personal responsibility. He says, don't let it. Neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Hallelujah. 8 is there's a promise of joy. I love that. Somebody on Facebook the other day said, "Pastor, pray for me," in the messaging. She said it twice now to me. I'm so sad. And, you know, I never want to assume that I know everything that's going on in a person's life or heart. But sometimes there's an assignment of sadness. You know, in this individual's life, they haven't lost to the degree that some people have that I've been around recently. And there are those that I see that have had great loss and great suffering, and they walk in supernatural joy. And so I believe we should pray for those that are sad, but I also believe we should encourage them to tap into the presence of God, because it says that there's righteousness, joy, and peace. Where? In the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Jesus said this in John, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." There it is. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Many times we're not experiencing joy because we've gotten out of the Father's love. There it is. Yeah? That's the truth. Get back into the Father's love. If you don't know how much he loves you, do a whole study on the Father's love. Ask the Holy Spirit. His job is to flood your heart with the Father's love. That's what Jesus said. You know, even Paul said it, the Holy Spirit will flood your heart with the Father's love. And Jesus wants us to remain in the Father's love, and with him there's a fullness of joy. I experienced that joy when my husband went through 5 months of being in a vegetative coma and was brain dead, you know, and died. And I had joy. There were times that he was in the other room and we were believing, you know, for healing, but his body was dying and we're in the other room, the whole family cracking up laughing, not because of that, but just because the joy of the Lord filled us up. And, you know, you can be in a situation like that and feel like I'm supposed to be sad because bad things are happening in the bedroom. And feel guilty because you feel the joy of the Lord. Man, sometimes you need to laugh in the middle of circumstances like that. Not because things are bad, but because, you know, you need the medicine that joy gives you. The Bible says that a joyful heart is good medicine. Hallelujah. There's a promise of joy. 9, there's a promise of intimacy. I love that. You know, many people feel like they got to get all cleaned up before God will be intimate with them. Jesus didn't say that. He just said, go in your room and shut your door. You know how many times I've wanted to just go in my room and shut my door and not do people? Not even do me. I'm just like done with myself. How many of you have ever been there? I'm done. I'm done with me. I'm done with it all. So I just go in my prayer room and shut the door. But the Bible says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, not if you pray. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You know, many people say, well, God knows what I need, so I'm just going to sit here. No, it says, before you ask him. So you need to ask him. You need to talk. Yes? But you also need to listen. He knows what's in your heart. He's ready. He's eager. He wants to be with you. And God can handle your rawness. Let me just say that. And he prefers it rather than the platitudes and all the trying to impress him with your prayer, you know, vernacular. Just go in there and be real. You know how many times I've gone in and just said, Lord, this hurts. And I feel frustrated and, you know, all the things that we can, you know, just pastors are supposed to be strong and, you know, lead the charge and all of that. And what I've learned is this, there's God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I'm not afraid to show him my vulnerability because he already knows. I don't need to put on a show with God. I need to be real with him. And there's a promise of intimacy even when we are at our worst. And I love that. Number 10, the promise of provision. And I'm going to paraphrase this one. But basically in Luke, Jesus said, listen, how many of you can add a single, you know, cubit or inch to your life or whatever by worrying? You can't. You know, the birds don't go and store up and they don't have bank accounts. I'm not against having bank accounts. I think you should have them. But many people are just stressed out trying to, you know, fill their barn, fill their storehouse. Do it. Just keep building and building. And I love that, you know, God has given us the power to get wealth. But we can't add anything, a dollar, anything really to our life by worrying. And he says, you're of more value than the birds. They don't have to go and just stress to get everything. He feeds them, right? You're more beautiful than the fields and the lilies. And Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't arrayed like these. You're beautiful to him. You matter to him. There's a promise of provision in the word there in Luke 12, and you can go back and read that. There's also a promise of Jesus' continued presence. I thank the Lord for that. You can find that in John 14, 6 through 19. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. There it is. Abide with you forever. Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. Man, I kind of feel the Spirit of God pulling me back to that There Is No Striving song. Man, it's just people like feel like, I got to fight to be in his presence. I got to fight to be in his presence. I got to get in the presence of God. Listen, he came. He moved in. And he's never leaving. How many of these songs, like, you know, come, like trying to conjure somebody who's already here? I believe in invitation, but like many times we're begging for something we already have. That's like got to be frustrating to the Lord. If he says, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That he's an ever-present help. You know, bad theology says, well, you got to be doing all these things, or God will just lift and disappear in your life. Like, how many of you heard that? His presence will just lift and leave you, and, you know, it's just not biblical. You can grieve him. The Bible instructs us not to grieve him. But he didn't say that and then recant. He's not a man that he should lie. You need to be more aware of his presence. Stop begging for it and just become more aware of it. There's a promise of God's continued presence. And I'm going to end on this one today. There's a promise of recognition and reward. And I want to encourage those of you who are young in the Lord. I see this a lot, where you need validation, need a recognition. Everybody loves affirmation and recognition, and we love rewards, don't we? But many times, especially in kingdom work, we don't always see it. And our heart needs to be released from pining for those things. We need to be healed to such a degree that what we do for others, when we give them a cup of cold water, when we treat people good and no one sees, that we don't have to go out and herald all of our good works. I heard some good amens. Here's the thing. Also, all of you who believe in the Lord, all you children, all you saints, I see this with my grandchildren. They can't and many times won't return a favor to me. I have to even tell them to say thank you. And we get so bent out of shape because we do things for people, and they're children. They're new in the Lord. They don't, you know, children don't. They can't. They don't, and many times they won't return a favor. But I wanted to assure you of this: God sees everything you do. He witnesses it all. And there's a reward for every good deed that you do. And you may not get the reward from the person you served. You may not get the recognition from the person you wanted it from, that you desired it from. But I want you to know this: you will never, ever lose your reward. I love it. Jesus said, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. You know, I thought about that. In the name of a disciple, it doesn't say in the name of Jesus. I know I'm taking a minute on this, but it doesn't say in the name of Jesus. It says in the name of a disciple. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt said, you'd be surprised what can get done when nobody needs the credit. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard for people in pride to come and say, you know, I'm doing this because I'm doing this on behalf of my pastor. Oh, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You know, or I'm doing this on behalf of this ministry here that wants to bless you. And they'll step up and want to take credit for what they're doing. Y'all look like bobbleheads at the flea market. We don't want to be like that, do we? There's a promise in God's word of recognition and reward. And you know, there's some stuff that I hear, Christianese stuff. I believe in celebrating people. I believe in, you know, championing the gifts and this and that. But when you're not walking in humility, you just need to be celebrated a little too much. And then if people aren't just celebrating you, this, you know, this entitled generation, well, I didn't get my recognition reward, and they didn't celebrate me, and their lips are hanging on the ground, and, you know, and then they throw up little graphics like, go where you're celebrated and not where you're tolerated. These people just tolerate me. They don't celebrate me. Wait a minute. God, it's horrible. It's great to be celebrated. But we've had enough of the, you know, people walking in and somebody didn't notice them. And now all of a sudden they build up some big scenario in their head because they, you know, they handed out a blanket and now everybody needs to give them a trophy. God help us. We need to be serving with unselfish motives. Unselfish. We need to live for a mission that's bigger than ourselves. And if nobody comes up and celebrates you and dumps thank yous on you, you got to do your work as unto the Lord, knowing that He recognizes every single thing you do. Every prayer you pray, the ones in secret, the ones in public, you know, just let's be people who understand that. There's a promise of recognition. There's a promise of reward. And there are so many rewards that are going to be handed out when Christ returns. And aren't you thankful when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to be condemned to hell, but we're going to receive all of our rewards. Hallelujah. I hope you're encouraged tonight. I'm going to open the altars. And if there was an area there where you feel like, you know, the enemy has warred against one of your promises, go ahead and come up and share it. Prayer team, if you would come to the front as I close this service tonight and just be available. We never know who's going to need that prayer. If you're watching online, throw it up in the chat and we will be praying for you. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you for the word that you gave tonight. It's your word. Thank you for giving me strength to release it. We ask now, Lord, that you would work on behalf of these loved ones to see fulfillment in their lives and the promises that they are standing on. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice has received you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're watching right now and you've never received Christ, it's a very simple thing. He said, if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you believe he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day so that you could have eternal life. If you believe that and confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will spend eternity with him, and you will have his help this side of heaven, and you need that. I believe the Holy Spirit has already been drawing you, or you wouldn't be listening. Don't refuse him now. Receive him. I'm going to help you pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins, and I believe you were buried and you rose again on the third day so that I could have eternal life. I thank you for receiving me as your child. I believe I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. I love you. I'm looking forward to worship night next week. Get prayer if you need it. Don't leave the house without it. I will see you guys on Sunday.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.